Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, well, it's Thursday, not our normal day for broadcasting, but we had to make an adjustment in the schedule this week, and I believe we'll be broadcasting on Monday next week. 914-338-0164 is the call number. Please press 1 if you when you call, so that we know that you would like to speak with us. Again, 914-338-0164 is the call number. I'm multitasking here, trying to post the show to our page, which I have already done to our personal page, but I have to share it to our other pages. And speaking of those pages, we would love it if our listeners and callers followed us on our Facebook accounts, Danielle and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, and our other pages for the radio show, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour and Neil Baker Psychic. You can find those accounts via our Blog Talk Radio homepage, Danielle and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And we're still, you know, it's interesting. We're still conducting a fundraiser for Wildlife SOS, and we're doing well. But like I said on the last show, the donations are very slow to come in. They've been very slow, and it, you know, just a few dollars, even if that's all you can afford, if you've been a longtime listener of the show, we would really appreciate your support as a token of appreciation for our services, since we really don't ask anything of our listening audience. We do this as a service. We don't ask for donations.
We got a nice response from the
Wildlife SOS. We did, and I have to respond to them today. They did thank us for our fundraiser, which was heartening. But what I find is interesting is several people on our Facebook page have not donated have shared our fundraiser, which we appreciate. They've shared the fundraiser to their page, but they didn't make a donation. I mean, even a dollar. It's just, you know, if you're going to share the fundraiser, make a small donation at least, please. I mean, you know, it's just even a few dollars.
If
that's all you can afford.
If there's wildlife organization that you want to give to, let us know who you gave to on our behalf. We'd appreciate that as well, because there are several out there.
Right.
We're mentioning Defenders of Wildlife, and there's some
and
others.
We know that people, you know, have different charities that they donate to, and some people want to donate money to the homeless, and they're more concerned about people than animals. We understand that. However, this is, like we say, this is a service that we offer, and we help people. This is our chosen charity. And this is what we're doing. So this is how you can help support us.
I know we give to several. There must be at least close to 10 that we give to. our contributions are modest, but we give what we can. And so I know there are several out there, and every time I give, I know I feel a lot better. There are some that they do a general attitude of all wildlife. Some specify wolves or elephants or things like that. And some reach into the pet population. And some are concerned with just the oceans, ocean conservancy.
Yeah.
There's several out there, So if you can, if our show can help promote the welfare of wildlife and animal life, we'd be most gratified, aside from, you know, not even accepting donations for the show. But
we'd accept donations for the show, but we don't solicit donations. We don't solicit donations for the show. We never have. It's not how we work. So
no.
So yes. Anyway, the fundraiser can be found on our Facebook page. And I should share that again, so it's at the top of the page, actually. And I will do that shortly. So what are we talking about today, Neil?
Well,
who is talking from a distance?
There's always something to talk about.
Oh, there is.
It doesn't matter, because the topics are, there's so many numerous topics.
I can't.
We find that most people who call or have personal questions. A few scattered will ask more generalized questions about energy fields and things like that. And I think one of the challenges of doing a reading is gauging, from a psychic viewpoint, gauging the accuracy of what one says as a psychic. How do you gauge that? How do you know specifically if something's going to happen or maybe happen or not happen? And in the astral realm, there are energy levels that could possibly demonstrate exactly the outcome of an event or the possible outcome. A lot of times people will say, well, is it or isn't? Why are you playing it safe in the middle and saying what could happen? Well, it sounds like a way of cheating, because you're trying to play it safe by compromising either yes or no. But there is energies out there, and it's true.
There are energies. There is energies.
There are energies out there that promote the idea of casting free will into the energy, or contingencies into the energy. We come back to the planet with sex.
Now we know where Neil's mind is.
Yeah.
God, talk about a Freudian slip.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're done. You got a couple of laughs. We come back to with sex. Well, of course we come back with sex. But we come back with set. Set. You know, they're talking about Barbara Feinstein kind of losing it at.
You mean
seven.
Diane?
Oh,
Feinstein?
Diane.
Your mate Barbara Boxer. I know you're mixing them up. They're from the same area, but anyway.
Yeah, she's 87, and she's kind of, you know, she forgets things or she repeats things. Well, maybe
Diane Feinstein. Anyway.
Hotels, but.
Yeah, I did there. I read something this morning about her saying that she should decide when she wants to retire.
Yeah, when she wants to leave. But what were we talking about? Are we doing a show?
We're talking about sex.
There are set standards, but there is an element out there where the definition is we can choose. We arrange our karma according to what we have done in a past life. Our karma is now arranged for us. Some things we have to do. I mean, some things are set in standard tone. you know, we have to learn how to toilet train. We have to learn how to talk. We have to go to school. We have to learn how to tie our shoes.
Unless there's some disability that prevents us from doing this.
But there are things we have to do as human beings. Now, how does that branch into things we have to do because of karma? We have to face certain things. Well, you're not going to really know until you get there whether you're inclined to follow through on a karmic situation or not. We've categorized, Chris and I have categorized in birth date evaluation, a certain element of time where karma is most impacted. And in that element of time, designated by certain numerical codes within the birth date, one can suggest the problems one might go through and what they have to do. But generally speaking, when we come back to the planet, our karma is consolidated, it's concentrated into a certain amount of time because we can't possibly serve out five lifetimes in one. So the intensity of all of those past lives is presented as a karmic situation, and the volume of that karma is related to the volume of karma you had to pay. So if you committed minor offenses with karma, your karma may not be so outstanding. You get through it. If you committed offensive issues, if you committed offensive acts and were horrible, then your karma is going to be devastating in the lifetime that you lead. Could even bleed into a past karmic code, into something that's more lifeline, in your lifeline. So we've been dealing with clients that call, that repeatedly say, when is my karma going to be over? How long does this last? Why am I still here? Well, unfortunately, some codes will suggest that karma will be widespread.
Well, particularly if the person is compounded. I mean, that tends to be, a non-compounded person can have karma that continues to plague them throughout a lifetime and be intense. But compounded people definitely have a more, commonly more intense karmic situation.
And it shows up. Now,
or if they have zeros in the birth date or 11s in the linear code. I mean, there are different numerical codes that will show up if they're not compounded.
If they're not compounded. Now, generally speaking, every time we come back, we raise our energy by one number. So if you were a 3, you're not going to be a 4. If you were a 4, you're not going to be a 5. Very rarely, if you're like a 3 in one lifetime, you come back the next lifetime, now you're a 5. That is almost so difficult to do because what it means is that in your third lifetime, you would have done so much work that you skipped a grade. You skipped an element.
Well, you can be, it's more, you're more likely to be demoted than promoted.
Well, not even demoted. What happens is that
you can fall back.
The next succeeding number that you are, the intensity of how you failed will be in that number. So it's not so much a demotion as it is the intensity now of karma is in your next number. And some of those declining numbers might show up in your linear code.
Yeah, but you can fall back in a master number. It can happen.
Well, anything can happen. But generally speaking, we move forward, but we carry a certain amount of karma with us. Falling back would be deemed by a totally wasted life.
For example,
and you come back as the same number.
Like a compounded person repeating that lifetime again. So like a 29-11-2 comes back again as a 29-11-2. That would be a more common situation.
Yeah.
Repetition.
What usually happens is you do advance to the next number, but while you're living that life, all you're dealing with is past life stuff in your journey. Now, that's punishment enough because you feel like you want to be out of it and you can't get out of it. So those people who feel stuck and just everything always goes wrong, it never happens the way they want it to. They're always up against something and they're always getting hurt. They're always getting set up. They're always getting hurt. Those people have, yes, advanced forward, but all they're carrying in their linear code is past life crisis that they have to deal with. So it becomes a real punishment. But here's the good news. Most people in that category, most, not all, can find the light at the end of the tunnel within their lifetime. It all depends on how they function and how they deal with things and how quickly they get through it. What you don't want to do is deliberately repeat old habits, old situations, getting yourself involved with people or situations or attitudes that you know aren't right. Now let's take an addict who kicks his addiction or her addiction, and 10 years later, as they're going forward in time, let's say they're on a number 7 in their energy, and they pick up their addiction again. That 7's gone. What they've done is they've, like in a game, they've moved back 10 spaces and landed on the worst square on their board, the worst number, whether it's a 1 or a 0 or whatever it may be. Now they're stuck there. And they may be stuck there for a certain amount of time, according to the offense at hand and how it was conducted and executed. So you can, yes, going back into the code is more likely than coming back to the planet and being a reduced number. The torture enough is in the linear code. It is worse, much worse things than coming back and just being another number. Some people, though, come back with that in mind. And the code is so strongly connected to karma that they will have to spend their entire life working it off. It's almost like a life sentence. But then the good thing is that they do, when they come back again, they have a fresh start. So karma's non-judgmental. It just is a basic condition, a law of the universe. But it does have its rewards as well as its punishment scale. And it does have leniency. There's leniency in the code. Leniency would be revealed by the variations in the linear code. There's a leniency of theme, of consistency. And if you have these highs and drops in your numbers, well, then your life's going to be a bit of a roller coaster, deliberately a roller coaster, not by accident. So these are, you know, things that we try to talk about when, you know, until we get calls that help us to fill the time, because we have a commitment every twice a week to do an hour show. And hopefully, you know, people in the archives can take advantage of this process. The other thing is it gets really intricate. But you may have a good karma. But if you get involved with someone with a bad karma, and you can't even find within your linear code why you would get involved with such a person, but yet you do, that can affect the numbers. That can affect the numbers. Which means that coming back to the planet is very concerning in terms of the contingencies of how we exist. Some of us meet people because it's karma, and it could be fatal. Others, because we are in a dark space, we meet new karmic we meet new individuals, and they can be good or bad. So that situation can be pretty strongly outstanding. Then it gets difficult. We were just watching a show where a transgender, a man that became a woman, who was soliciting dates. One happened to be a football player, and he solicited this date, and ultimately the football player didn't either discovering he, she was a he or something, and didn't want it to be spread to his fellow players, ended up killing him.
I think that he, the football player, might have known
beforehand.
Yeah, I think he knew that he was involved with a transgender
person.
And then she
must have encouraged the relationship and threatened.
And I think that he didn't want it, right. I think the transgender person wanted more out of the relationship than just a physical connection. And I think that's what made the football player commit the crime. I mean, that's not what made the football player commit the crime. I'm not blaming the victim, but that's what prompted him to commit the crime, because he was afraid that it was going to get out to his football player friends. But it's interesting, because there was another suspect. There was another suspect, and the other suspect was interviewed by police and said, I found out that this man or this woman was not actually born a woman, and I didn't want to be involved.
Engaged.
Involved in a relationship with someone like that. And I cut it off, but their conversation was, they had a text conversation like 2 hours prior to the murder, so it looked very suspicious. But this person was, in fact, it isn't anyway. But you were making the point.
Well, right? You know, that situation like that, it almost reeks of karma. But it gets very confusing.
Well, it could be.
Because
I mean,
when you dig into the energy field of it, first of all, you have to think, well, he decided to become a she. And how did that change the karma? Was that a choice he made? Or was it karma that was destined to happen? And in becoming a she, was it destiny that she would be killed? Whereas if she was a he and remained a he might have lived. So you get into this idea, well, how are you going to figure that out on a karmic level, if it even is important? But it is to one extent, because we're defining the way lives of the process of living and how you can discover that in a code or in a psychic field of vision. What is one's destiny? Some people even know their own destiny, but more or less, when he made that decision to become a she, did he know in his collective mind, unconsciousness, that he would be killed, and that he would prompt that death by aggravating the culprit, the killer, and almost asking for danger? He could have just left it alone, or she could have left it alone. What we get to the point is, do we come back to the planet to bring about our death, if that be the case? I mean, we're all going to die, but to bring about our death. Some people seem to prompt it. Now, we're not saying that there are true victims, and we're not saying that in the majority of cases there are innocent parties. But what about the karmic plot whereby we come back to bring about our death, and it has to be done? I mean, it's a strange idea, but it certainly, when you get into the investigation of karma and past lives, I have found it gets kind of dangerous because your mind is opened up to all of these contingencies that bring us back to the planet. And fortunately, most of them are nurturing and good and inviting and beneficial. But when you hit a dark note of energy that says, oh my God, you came back to impede your death violently.
To impede your death, you mean to impede would to be to block it. You mean to prompt it?
No. There are two levels of energy.
Sorry.
Because the energy, in this case impede, the energy of him wanting to be a woman was accelerating.
Okay.
It was something he had to do. So it blocked it blocked his vision of being severely just a man.
Uh-huh.
So he that block in itself became the contingency upon which he experienced his own death. There was another example where another man was killed violently by knife. These all happened to be black. But on the show, they have most of these were black characters.
All we do is watch TV in our spare time.
No,
God, this is what it sounds like on the last two shows. No, I know.
An hour at night. So get off it. It's an hour at night. But we're using we watch these true life shows because we look up their birthdays.
True crime shows.
True crime. Hello, Diane. move over. There's room for two on that seat of forgetfulness. You know, it's funny as you get older, your brain starts to eliminate trivia in a way. You're not bothered. Small details start to elude your mind. But anyways, what was I saying?
We were talking about the death of the other person, the other person that was stabbed.
Oh, the black, yeah. So now this guy was loved by his family. All the faces came on TV. Oh, he was.
Yeah, he had like five sisters.
He had five sisters.
Four, five. I mean, how many? God. Kids do they have anyway?
And they all loved him.
Readers.
He was a gentle guy. He was funny. He was warm. And yet, what's going on? He's got a gun in his house.
Yeah, he had a gun. He did own a gun. It was a rough neighborhood. Maybe self-protection.
We don't know, but apparently he was so gregarious. They didn't say that. They said open and inviting.
Inviting everyone. Really, everyone loved to hang out there. And, you know, it was his house. He had an open-door policy.
Open-door policy. So the real word, he was very gregarious. But the fact that he had this gun, that he knew this guy, that the guy came into his bedroom and sat down in bed with him after the sisters left. And ended up killing him. The guy claimed he went for his gun. But this contradicts this man's character. I mean, why would he go for his gun?
Well, and it also contradicts the autopsy because he had defensive wounds on his hands.
Yeah.
And he had stab wounds both in his chest and in his back. And they said that it didn't look at all
like he was
trying to attack this other guy.
That's karma. Strange karma. I mean, to go in there to suggest what is it between these two men that would result in this. And they said it was one of the most violent scenes. The police couldn't believe it.
Well, they had pictures. I mean, we even saw pictures. There were pictures of the crime scene. Violent.
So, again, you know, how do you come back and you're such a gentle soul and everybody loves you And then you've got this dark side. We didn't get his birthday.
No, we didn't get his birthday, but I think probably he, I think probably he was, I did, how old was he when he died, did you say?
I don't recall.
And when the crime was in 2017. It was in 2017, so he would have had to, he wasn't, he would have had to have probably a fairly high karmic number because he was probably born like in the 80s or the 90s.
We, that's the whole point. We've got to look at these birthdays.
So, anyway, I don't remember what the guy's name was.
No.
But the point is, he probably had a fairly high karmic number, so he probably, I assume that he died prior to his karma, which is often the case with a lot of these murders that occur, or, you know, with these people that die when they're young, or there's someone that died, recently there was a death that I looked up. The person died, it was like right at their karmic turnover. Yeah. They were 2911 too, and it was like right at the karmic turnover they were killed.
Well, in a psychic investigation, when one goes back to a past life to discover what are the roots of these dynamics where these things happen, yes, you can divine through visual energy or some past life consciousness where it all occurs. Sometimes you have to look specifically at the birth date numbers and start to draw conclusions between the connections. Now, there's another case with a nanny, famous case, took widespread news alerts and news stories about a nanny that shook up this baby under 1 year old to where it suffered dramatic head and neck.
Well, she claimed to shake the baby, but the injuries suggested that the baby had a skull fracture that had healed partially. So that the baby had been struck prior to this, to the incident where she, right now. And it didn't, and the injuries didn't suggest that the baby had been shook because the baby didn't have neck injuries. So I don't know. Anyway,
well,
she was sentenced to murder,
and then it got reduced because of
and then she served like 239 days.
That's it. But a very famous case. I think she was English. She was
British.
British. Now there again, karma. And her behavior on the stand was somewhat peculiar because in answering some of the questions, she would abrupt her delivery with laughter. I mean, it's very strange, very bizarre. And I'm not sure what all that was about. But again, you know, mothers that take their car with their children in it and drive off a cliff, and they're talking about gruesome things, but what we're trying to deliver is what the attitude is of karma.
Well,
we can go to a lot milder cases.
Well, and in talking about these people that get murdered, the baby, of course. It's interesting with the baby because what happens with a child who is killed? I mean, they only live on the planet for 18 months, and then. What is that? Their sentence for 18 months? Is that it? Or does the baby return to the planet?
Well,
I mean, sometimes you only have 18 months left to serve.
What happens in that case is the baby may only live 18 months, but the baby came back to convict the person through karma, so the murderer or murderess suffers.
Right.
More.
So what I'm saying is that baby may be done after that 18 months. I mean,
maybe the tail end of that energy.
Right.
We do have, you know, it's funny because, sometimes when you look at these cartoon captions and let's say there's a lion in one caption, and by the time you get to the last caption, all you see is the lion's tail exiting the box. You just see the tail, but it's part of the process of the comic, and it makes the comic close with a tail at the corner of the edge of the box. Sometimes we come back to complete the tale, no pun intended. But sometimes we come back to complete the tale of our karma on the earth, and we have to come back. We're not done with the planet till we're done. What's that phrase? You're not done till you're done.
It ain't over till it's over, I think.
It ain't over till it's over.
Anyway.
You know, it reminds me of the absurdity of that movie, After Hours, and with the song, Is That All There Is? Is That All There Is? But the absurdity of that movie, you haven't seen it.
Is Did I? Yeah.
That surreal element where, yeah, you saw it, where the guy steps out of his office at night and spends his whole odyssey that night being chased and wanted for murder, and I mean, it's very funny. Martin Scorsese, one of his better films, one of his kind of off the beat films. But in that regard, Terry Garr was in it, and a lot of other actors. But the idea that we sometimes come back, you know, in the odyssey of our lives, to wade through surrealism, to wade through elements of energy that we can't quite explain, but which brings us back over and over again to the same pounding conclusion. What is the meaning of my life? We talked about the meaning of life in a previous show, the significance of spirituality overriding any condition that we might have otherwise experienced on the planet, that our saving grace is faith and belief in an afterlife and the awareness that we are here for but a brief period of time, and we're here hopefully to not only complete karma but to bring some benefit to the planet.
Well, that was my point about these other people. Not that they didn't have a point, you know, these people that were murdered. We don't know their birth dates, but assuming they were murdered so young, they didn't live. If at all, much past their or much into their transcendent phase of life. So essentially, they, you know, lived in a fixed karmic period of life. And essentially, if you lose your life to murder, being murdered, or it in some kind of tragic accident, likely you're going to come back to the planet, unfortunately.
Okay,
I just want to say, you know, the opportunity to establish transcendence is not, you don't have that, there, it's not there.
Well, here's the thing about martyrdom.
About what?
Being a martyr.
Oh, martyrdom. I didn't hear what you said.
Like the Black Lives Matter, which is named George. When you die and you leave a legacy, when you die and you present a cause, when you die and your life is built on a foundation of charity or helping others, that's where the karma moves slowly into transcendence, so that your death has some promotion of value and meaning. Now, might not be the intended motive of the person who died to have such a legacy. But again, sometimes we have weird ideas of how we come back to the planet and sacrifice our lives for a higher cause. When we get into that idea, you know, the sermons that surround a death, well, they're resting in peace now. They led a torturous life.
But martyrdom, I mean, martyrdom is dying for a cause. And George, you mentioned George Floyd. I mean, George Floyd was, George Floyd didn't die for a cause necessarily.
No,
I mean,
I'm going deeper than just the deliberate, concrete meaning of what it is to be a martyr. I'm saying that on a karmic level, when you go karmically and you dissect and analyze a life, there's a hidden factor in there that some of us come back, not deliberately to be a martyr or to die for a cause, but we come back to serve a certain level of karma, and at the end of that life, to become a martyr. It's not an intended thing, but again, when you get into the deep definition of karma, you discover such conclusions that it's not what it seems to be. But yes, there's a credible level of being a martyr, and then there is a karmic level of being a martyr, where it ultimately ends up that way. We happen to have been involved with an individual who died from an overdose of drugs, and from there a great foundation was established, and that foundation has helped kids tackle drugs and make drug awareness more of an issue. And it saved several lives and have turned several lives around. Now, the individual who died from supposedly an accidental overdose didn't intend to have a charity named after him. But upon the actions of the parents and the awareness of the surrounding community, that have dealt with alcohol and drugs, it became a great foundation named after the person who was deceased. Now, how do you define that? How do you define that? Because if the name of the person is on the foundation, and the foundation is based to help others, who is to say that there wasn't some sacrifice made according to karma, even though it didn't rise to the level of clear
martyrdom. I understand what you're saying, but on a karmic level, that doesn't. I don't think that when a person who dies in that manner gets up to their judgment I guess Jesus took the two thieves with him, and so there are exceptions to rules, but I don't think just because someone has a foundation named after them that I think that soul still has to resolve karma that was created through the death, an untimely death, due to actions
there's going to be consequences.
Right.
There's going to be consequences. I'm not saying that those people rise to a level of high merit in the astral realm. It's not about that. But there's a debt to the earth as much as there is a personal debt, and that still will be held responsible to the soul. So yes, I'm not suggesting that if someone becomes a martyr or someone after their death of leading a dark life produces a foundation of sorts that they're, you know, they're crowned in heaven.
Right, because I mean, look
they
at the
do come back.
Look at the look,
I believe that, yes.
Yeah, and what sorrow was created from that premature death. I mean, what impact did that death have on the family?
And, well, you know, see, because
you that's karma.
Well, with all due fairness to your argument, it was the parents were left with the responsibility of setting up the foundation, not just having the loss of their son, but in setting up the foundation that was created after the death. And so the karma extends over to the parents.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with the baby. Different situation, of course, because the baby, you know, I think it falls into a different category. The baby that was shaken or killed by the nanny. But the parents are a part of that karmic energy because they're the ones suffering because of that baby being killed.
That's
they're
correct.
Left with the loss.
One of the tragic mishaps about existence is that parents bury their children, and they bury their children under the worst circumstances.
And not only that, but in that case, they were in the trial cross-examined and, you know, questioned as to whether they were responsible. I mean, I don't think they bore any responsibility for hiring this nanny and being working parents, but they were questioned. Why were you, you know, why did you have this nanny in the home? You worked 3 days a week. They said, you know, said this to the mother, and you should have been more attentive to the child and what, you know, not had this stranger in the home and trusted this person. So,
you know, of course, in our history of doing readings, we've experienced so many different situations that have led to tragic results. Most recently, lost a dear friend, and also, if you want to call a client, but due to alcoholism and a terrible accident that occurred because of that state of mind, and having to bury a child after having spent so many years raising that child, working with that child, I mean, to have to bury them at the tail end of that energy when there were so many great opportunities for the individual to explore, and they had everything under their roof for comfort. But the internal turmoil of energy is not something that we can all control. We don't know how to fit into somebody else's mind when there is such a thing as a terrible disease that may be karmically inclined to invade the individual. But it's hard to really get into the mind of a desperate, tortured soul. And even the person who is being tortured, who has a problem, can't always define why they have such an obsession or an addiction. It goes deep into a layer of karma that is one of the most difficult things to interpret when the circumstances are so horrific about death, and to explain it, well, it's karma. They caused it, and this and this and this. But in the explanation, what are you left with? Individuals will dig through a person's life and say, well, maybe when they were seven, maybe when they were eight, maybe they always were this way. Maybe because we didn't, you know, we left for the summer one year and we weren't there with them and they had a bad experience. Maybe there was an uncle. So all of these things that an uncle that abused.
Yeah.
So maybe
they
got all
they
these,
just had an uncle.
Uncle, maybe it was a monkey. The blame that we try to, the ways that we try to figure out the tragedies of life and why they occur if they aren't satisfied by the tracings of just the physicality of one's existence, then it's up to people like us to go back into the archives and look deep into the soul's journey previously to figure out why these things happen, and hopefully maybe to prevent future events. Because once you get a grasp of what happens in karma, you might be able to help future individuals deal with their energy, because you have an idea of how to avoid the inevitable, if that be the case, or the avoidable. So we have to also utilize the system of our number system. And that's what we're doing in our book, is why it's taking so long. It's clarifying the exact nature of what an individual number means in the linear code. There's more depth to it than you could ever imagine, and anything that traditional numerology would otherwise express in terms of its, what you might deem to be its complexities or its concise meaning of what a master number means. But again, we emphasize a master number is not really a master number. It's made up of other numbers. There are numbers hidden in that master number. So the outstanding result is not just the master number, but the content.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, even if there are two people with the same exact birth dates, so they have the same linear codes that make up that master number. They're the content of those linear numbers and the master number and are going to be totally different.
Yeah.
Because of the content of the soul.
Not all sevens are going to be the same, and not all threes are going to be the same. The different content that make up that number. And within each individual number on a linear code, there is an individual story to be told regarding the theme of that number. So the theme remains consistent, but the aspect of what makes up that theme. Not every murder mystery is the same, and not every comedy is the same, but they're branched under a genre that is uniform. Comedies, mysteries, adventure, but they're all different. They're all different. So I guess as we're concluding, we look at the attitude that you are all very special people.
Are you Mr. Rogers?
You're all very special people. And, you know, the thing about Mr. Rogers is that he generally left a legacy, if you will, of what, gentleness, of community, of acceptance. So the aspect of having a children's show, because that evolved from what, Captain Kangaroo and all these other people. But when you look at the nature of children's shows, it's about community. Most of them had that. Even Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse had the variation of a community within a setting. So in that regard, you know, that's what we're trying to do in our attempt to do these radio shows, is that all of our callers, all of our listeners, at least in this specific topic, are all part of a community of individuals that have an individual uniqueness. And even though the stories may sound the same.
And that's exactly what Mr. Rogers would say to the viewing audience.
Yeah.
That you're all special, you're all unique.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're very much like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. But we just
don't have the trolley.
We don't have the trolley, and we don't have the king and queen or everybody else. His puppets were so, you know, his puppets were so primitive.
They were, but it was, you know, at the time. They weren't
but he
primitive.
He was post Captain Kangaroo. Captain Kangaroo had Bunny Rabbit and stuff like that.
I grew up on Mr. Rogers. I grew up on Captain Kangaroo too.
Yeah.
I had Captain Kangaroo.
And you know why they call him Captain Kangaroo?
Why?
Do you know why?
Uh-uh.
Because he had those deep pockets in his
jacket.
Coat. Yeah, that's why they call him Captain Kangaroo. Sometimes Bunny Rabbit would be hiding in his pocket. But he had, Tom Terrific, and he had, you know, cartoons that he would show on the show that Pee Wee Herman, he just took it a step further and made it really nutty.
I did not like Pee Wee.
Oh, he had, not a fan. He was fantastic, genius in that respect.
Not a fan. I can see why you would say that, but I didn't care for his persona, too wacky and annoying for me. I just...
No, it's, you know, a matter of taste. But, you know, you get into people like that, Soupy Sales. There's so many different, but even Bozo's Funhouse, Clownhouse, Ringside. They all are here to promote the idea that we're all special. And they capture the imagination of the children that hopefully they leave their own legacy, that those children will grow up and expand in the idea that we are all one community of individuals. So that's our show. And
we're back on the air on Monday next week. I think that's our show for the week because it's Christmas. So we will hopefully hear from some of you then.